the power of the new day, Matt Wilhelm.
I don't know what that is.
I think it's okay. You do. You just don't want to admit. Still to come, DeMario Davis at the podium, Pep Hamilton as well. We may spread these kind of out over the next couple of days because so much content coming at you. Terrell Pryor at the podium now. We'll play that for you tomorrow. And he certainly has a lot of very favorable things to say about Al Saunders, which is certainly a good thing to hear. Of course, one of our favorites, and there's a great article about him by Andrew Gribble at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Joe Thomas there, positive about this staff, positive about this offense. I thought it took a little bit of a shot at kind of the Neanderthal football the Browns were trying to play of the last couple of years, which was smash mouth, low scoring games to opening it up, making defenses defend every blade of grass. And he says the best thing about it, the ball gets out quick. And that's something that you and I have honed in on for a long time since he's come here. Under 2.5 seconds, the ball gets out. Last year, Andy Dalton, 2.2 seconds to throw, fastest in the league. So as an offensive lineman, I imagine you like that because you got to be good for 2 seconds.
And Joe Thomas has been good for 2 seconds and more his whole career.
Right.
And I think getting rid of the football, that goes all the way back into your liking of Jared Goff for no other reason.
Got the ball out quick.
He got the ball out quick, which meant what was in between his two ears was working. And at a quarterback level, you have to have it work because if you hold the football too long, as we heard Ray Horton just say, that slight indecision or that doubt in your mind is the football going the other way.
So let me ask you then, for Hugh Jackson to be able to get his quarterbacks to get it out that quickly, does that mean that he has his play designs are so good that the primary read is often that just open?
Yes. And or you can go 1-2 that quick. Or you have a full-on understanding pre-snap of not only am I giving you an opportunistic opportunity by having the number one or number two guy open, so you only have to go 1-2, but our scouting and an understanding of who they are and what they do on certain downs and distances, we're hitting a hell of a lot more than we're missing.
Yep.
And so we've done our homework, and then we have the players in the right situations that all you have to do is take advantage of it.
Yeah, and make it simple for the quarterback, in essence, with what you're doing and the way you're stressing a defense.
Correct. And I think, you know, as you said, I hate living in the past. Now it's time to move forward, but we have to because it's so fresh in Browns fans' mind of what we did defensively. Is there were tells, if the word on the street is there were tells in our defense that gave opposing offenses an understanding of what types of situations could they put us in. That A, and that's why I made communication and execution not only a question for Ray Horton, but one of my key takeaways is because if there is seamless communication, everyone is on the same page, it's very difficult to beat 11 defenders consistently. But when there is indecision or bad communication amongst those 11, that's a chink in your armor. And not just the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Bradys and the Aaron Rodgers of the world, a starting professional quarterback will use that against you and abuse it down in, down out.
Yeah, and that's right. And the interesting thing is the defense always has an extra guy, in essence, because somebody's holding the football at any given moment.
Correct.
On offense. But it will be interesting to see, and as we've talked about, the biggest transition for RG3 will be, can he be that quick processor and get the ball out? Because in his career, he's been a guy who's held the ball, tried to make plays, etc. I thought it was good to see him throw that ball away today. If it's not there, throw it away. With Hugh Jackson, you're going to get multiple shots to get the ball 10 yards in three
Correct.
Plays.
Correct.
So go ahead and live to play another day. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. But let's talk a second about Joe Thomas. It did sound to me like he is a guy who understands the reality of the situation, but was convinced by Hugh Jackson and by Sashi that this is where he wants to be for now.
Yes. And I think, Joe, being a professional, seeing many of his teammates come and go, or other Pro Bowlers that he's played with in any of his 9 Pro Bowls, probably come and go, get traded when their value kind of dips or their performance dips amongst other teams, and they just find another place to play. He was of the mindset that I get why Sashi Brown and Jimmy Haslam are going the direction that they're going with rebuilding the Cleveland Browns. And he understood why a guy like himself would potentially be on the trading block to acquire assets, young assets, to put a guy in there at left tackle, and you love to take a guy like Joe Thomas for granted, but you put another guy out there, and maybe you call his name out a couple times a game, but he's not going to win or lose you a football game, and that's something that you've said. Whereas, can you acquire two more playmakers in exchange for Joe Thomas? And exchange those couple times you go, well, that left tackle, if it was Joe Thomas, he would have never got through. But man, that beautiful touchdown to that, you know, that new asset that we acquired, you know, in exchange for him, looks sure pretty running by a defense, doesn't he?
It sure looks nice. Yes. It'll be very interesting to see how it all plays out. Troll Pryor at the podium now. We'll have that interview for you tomorrow here on CBD. DeMario Davis will be up next, and he's a guy, Matt, as an inside linebacker, that when you see him on the field, certainly looks to be in command, even though it's a new defense for him, and is clearly one of the leaders on that defense. And his job involves getting everybody aligned, getting everybody set up, and he's a very vocal and active communicator.
Correct. And the role of the Mike linebacker in most cases, in this case, is DeMario Davis. It was Patrick Willis in San Francisco. It was, you know, myself or Stephen Cooper in San Diego. It was Randall Godfrey in San Diego as well prior to that. They get lined up. So basically, DeMario Davis, his communication is to the outside linebackers and the three in the defensive front. And then there will also be, then there's the back level communication. That's communication amongst the defensive backs and then to the linebackers. And if this particular coverage calls for a linebacker and safety or a corner and linebacker having to work together in a certain type of coverage. So, but DeMario Davis, for all intents and purposes, is the quarterback of the defense, as linebackers are always called.
Yeah, and as you noted today, they were doing some stuff, as Ray Horton said, about all the exotic formations where there was the short side where it was just center guard on one side, and how they would creep down the linebacker with the outside of the right. The inside linebacker outside of the outside linebacker, drop the safety down, all that stuff. That front is being set and organized by DeMario Davis.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
All right, are we going to the podium?
Dreamer, do we have anybody? Oh, break.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, DeMario Davis, the man we just talked about, will be at the podium on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, we're back on CBD. DeMario Davis at the podium right now.
A feel for how good this defense can be this year?
You never know. You never know till you get to the field in those games, and the funk hit the fan. You never know. But I'm definitely excited. I trust this organization. I've been around good coaches before, and I've never believed in anybody like I believe in Hugh and Ray. And I believe in what they're doing. I believe in the organization. I believe in our owner and our executive office, the people that they brought in, the moves they made. I believe in the direction that we're going, and I'm definitely excited and how good we can be. Only time will tell. The game is played inside the lines, not in talk or on film. It's played in the game, you know, and so we'll see. We'll see. I'm excited, though.
What stands out when you look at Ogba coming here, obviously playing defensive end in college, coming here and trying to make the adjustment that outside back, what do you see from that?
I think the first thing that jumps out at you is his size and his range, long arms. Anybody with that type of size and those arms, and he's an athlete. He can move. He can move real good. He can be a player in this league. He can be a good player in this league for a long time. It's going to take coaching. It's a transition for him, you know, coming from a 4-3 defensive end to a 3-4 outside linebacker. That's a hard transition to make. And I talked to him, and I told him that. But I believe in him. I believe in him. I believe in his character. We have a great – our rookies have great character. And I've noticed that. Sorry about that. Our rookies have great character. And so I believe he'll be able to do it. It's going to be – we have good coaches who gonna work with him, man, and I think he'll be all right.
A guy like yourself is brought in to help lead. It's always fascinating when guys come from other teams. How do you – now you're coming to a new program – how do you, are there little things that you try to do to kind of get the defense going, and, you know, how, describe your leadership style?
I don't know, really know if you put into words. I really try to lead by example. You know, I know there's people watching me, so I try to do the right thing, you know. And I'm a firm believer that more is caught than taught. You know, I never try to speak lessons over anybody, you know. If they want to know how to do it, I want to act and live in a way that they can look at me and get a good example of it. So I just try to show up with a good attitude and work hard every day, because where we're at, we're going to have to be coached very well. And so for us to take what the coaches are teaching us, we got to put as much time into the learning as possible. Every meeting, everything the coach said, we got to take notes, write it down, and go and try to apply it. That's what's going to help us develop as a team. And then just bringing, you know, hard work out of it. Our coaches constantly harping on work. And so, you know, I want to be a good example at doing that, what that looks like. That's always been a part of my character, so it's nothing new to me. But just understanding that guys are watching that, you know, I just continue to do it. I know it's even more important now. But it's not nothing that I try to do differently. I just be myself.
Is Ray Steen obviously been through two different schemes the last 2 years. Is Ray Steen closer to Rex's or closer to Todd Bowles, or is there any similarities?
Ray's system is Ray's system. Everybody has their own identity. You know, I love his system. I love how he uses his linebackers, inside linebackers. I love the flexibility in the defense, the way we're able to move. And I like the understanding that everybody's getting at their individual positions. It seems like everybody's being coached very well. I know we're being coached very well at inside linebacker. And it seems like everybody else is getting the same. So it seems like it's gelling well right now.
All right, that was Browns inside linebacker DeMario Davis saying he's never believed in coaches like he has with Hugh Jackson and Ray Horton, and loves Horton's system, the flexibility of the defense, the way he uses the inside linebackers. And I think when you hear that, Matt, what does that mean, the way they're allowed to move? And I imagine some of that means I'm going to get the blitz a little bit.
Yes, and I think just as we heard from Ray Horton, you know, DeMario Davis and have the dialogue between the two of them says, if I blitz you five, if I run this five times in a game, are you going to get me a sack? And a player wants to have that, first of all, wants to have that dialogue. You always want to have your number called. That's why I always felt playing for a more aggressive head coach in his ability, you want to rush. And that's the one misconception about playing a 4-3 defense. You can get really good playing a 4-3 defense. Seattle doesn't blitz anybody, you know, very often. The Bears, for the longest time with Urlacher and that Tampa 2, never blitzed anybody. You know, it's just you are who you are in a 4-3, and you really perfect what you do best.
And you need four guys who can get to the quarterback on their own.
Correct. I mean, and that's sometimes very difficult to do. In the 3-4, I think you're kind of taking the bull by the horns, and you're pushing the envelope. You know, not only in pre-snap and post-snap and so on and so forth, but you're pushing the envelope on, we're the aggressor. Here we come. You determine who's coming and then try to block him. And I think that's what is encouraging to me, not only with the group that we have now, but as Sashi Brown, you know, and Ray Horton and Hugh Jackson have more time to spend with each other and they understand exactly what they need. That's why 17 is going to be a great year. 18 is going to be the year, because they're growing in this understanding of exactly who we are. That's not going to waver as it has from year to year. That's going to be who Hugh Jackson is, and his staff will essentially be underneath him.
When you hear questions for DeMario Davis, and let me, now obviously you were boys with Sean Merriman, so you knew as an inside linebacker what Sean Merriman could do. Is DeMario Davis, how much is he paying attention to what Emmanuel Ogba is doing
He's
on
not.
The outside? So that's
He
that.
May watch him from time to time in a drill, because I don't necessarily know how many reps is Emmanuel Ogba even getting at practice. You know, Coach Horton said 63 plays at practice. Ogba might have got 15 or 20. And if DeMario Davis is communicating with his inside linebackers or a safety about, you know, he's in tune to what he's doing in his group. You don't really have an opportunity to really go, whoa. I mean, unless he's flashing, which you can't say if you were out there or anybody was, you know, people are like, whoa, Emmanuel Ogba was blowing everybody's socks off. He's going to notice. But if he's not, you're just going to say, oh, he's big. He's physical. That's what I know about him.
Indeed. All right. 216-578-0850. You've heard from Ray Horton. You've heard from DeMario Davis. You've heard from Joe Thomas. We want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. Zagern Wilhelm on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Obviously a very busy, busy, busy time here in Berea. And by the way, Pro Football Focus's John Kosko, our friend, you can follow him at PFF under John, K-O-S-K-O, who covers the Browns for Pro Football Focus, sent me this nugget as we've been talking about DeMario Davis and the inside linebackers and the freedom, etc. Tennessee inside linebackers rushed the passer 21.5% of pass snaps in 2015, 22.5% in 2014. The Browns inside linebackers just 12% in 2015. So not quite double, almost double
right.
The opportunities for an inside backer to generate pressure for this team.
And as I said to you when you kind of threw those stats at me in the break, this is not so much about the production of the inside linebackers as it is a complement or a diversion from your sackers. Paul Kruger, Emmanuel Ogbah, either both coming at the same time, one coming off of one side, one coming off the other side. Because if your middle linebackers never came, what are your tackles going to do? They're going to set outside expecting one of your outside linebackers to rush. That if you can grow and in productivity and efficiency at running it inside, coaches, everything is broke. Analytics allow you to break down everything. And that's why I've always talked about the bye week gives you an opportunity to self-evaluate. If you are bringing this guy too much or that guy too much or both the guys too much, you're not the only one that knows that you're bringing them too much.
Sure.
The other team does too. So what can we do to diversify? Bringing the one backer inside, both backers inside, it just another bullet in the gun, and Ogbah and Kruger are going to be the higher caliber gun, because
sure.
they're gonna fire and do more damage. But you have to shoot the other ones for to hold people honest and true to what you're doing as a defense.
Man, that's why I wish we had a little bit more time with Ray Horton. I wanted to ask him about Nate Orchard, how he's looked and how he feels that he fits in that defense as well. That outside linebacker room, Markievicz Mingo, a lot of stuff. To look at in that group, and that'll be one of the big position battles as we talked about. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Cam in from Canada with us. Cam!
How's it going, fellas?
Cam, how happy are you with the Raptors' performance in Toronto? This is a series. This is a legit series. It played very well.
I'll stick with my original theory. This has been a basketball MRI for the organization. This has been an opportunity. I mean, once you're here, you want to win, obviously, but this is an opportunity to decide whether they're going to go for it. It's 24th payroll in the league, $65 million to spend in the offseason, it looks like. So, I mean, do they go for it? I think they're going to reset and try to go for it in 18-19. I don't know if they're going to move the Rosen. I'd use the money for business. But, no, it's good. I mean, it shows us where we're at, right? Like, we're right there. And I'm pretty happy. I mean, it's a lot of fun. People should just be celebrating the quality of basketball play. It's unbelievable.
Sure. Sure. Lowry and DeRozan turned in a performance for the ages, and you talked about Biombo with some very impressive play there. Cam, I know you're fired up about the Raptors, but I also know you're fired up about some of the things you heard today. What really stood out to you?
Well, I'm just so excited to hear that Justin Gilbert has gained some praise and been given a fresh start. And, it was just such a dysfunctional situation, and I'm not enabling anyone or suggesting that he didn't play a part of things. But, it's just a lesson to not write human beings off and write people off. I don't know where he's going to cap out or max out. But, I mean, the bottom line is that so many people are writing guys off that were playing in an unsafe and, I think a very bizarre defensive scheme last year, that it's just nice to see that, these guys are getting another opportunity. And I just want to encourage people, like, what's the point of writing a human being off? No cost to believing in people. And if these guys come around, it's only going to be the best thing for the program. So I it's very encouraging. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, Justin Gilbert, I think, is a guy that, he stood out to me. You hear what, Ray Horton had to say about him, and hopefully he's a guy that can get to a point where he feels comfortable with the staff and he feels comfortable with what he's being taught, that he can let those unbelievable natural gifts that made him the eighth overall pick in the 2014 NFL draft lead to success on the field and consistency on the field?
Yeah, I just want to commend.
We can only hope.
I just want to commend Matt too. It's just great insight. You guys are just, you know, you're bringing so much. Like, I mean, I fancy myself, you know, somewhat of an educated football person, but you know, not pro at any level, or even, you know, I don't consider myself high level. I've got a bit of a base knowledge, but I grow and I learn every day. I listen to you, Matt. So I really appreciate
thank
that.
You.
Thanks.
Yeah, Matt is bringing it. I love going to the learning tree with Mr. Wilhelm, and certainly on the field at practice, you get to get those great insights, and he brings them to you on the radio. And that's, I think, one of the things that makes this show what it is. And it's good to hear, especially you have a defense this year that you are so familiar with. So
yeah.
You are very comfortable, significantly more than, you know, talking about the defense last year, which seemed confusing at times.
Yeah, and the hardest thing, I mean, for me to do my job is to talk about it, because it's like I'm one of, well, let me show you. You know, and it's,
I wish we had the whiteboard, right?
Right, exactly. Let's get a camera and a whiteboard, and I'll be able to show you exactly what, you know, I'm talking about.
All right. If 216-578-0850, other calls there. By the way, some other news in the National Football League yesterday. Atlanta, Miami, and Los Angeles awarded the Super Bowls. Amazingly, you look at Atlanta, that stadium, still drawings. They're working on the construction of it. The L.A. stadium is just a dream at this point. And Miami, they put $450 million into renovating Sun Life Stadium down there. So that hopefully will be a nice-looking facility. But not so bad. Atlanta, Miami, and L.A., that's not so bad. And,
yeah.
And you got Houston this year, Minnesota in their
correct.
Beautiful new stadium,
yeah.
Which the pictures that have been coming out look
it's amazing.
Phenomenal.
Yes.
And then, of course, as I said, Atlanta, Miami, which I don't know why they keep calling it South Florida. I know the stadium's technically between.
New Miami Stadium is what it's called.
It's between Lauderdale and Miami, but they keep calling it the NFL. Like, South Florida has been a word. It's Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, no disrespect to Lauderdale.
The one thing that jumped out at me is, I'm not going to go out of my way to go to Atlanta for Super Bowl. The one thing that I might do, having lived on the West Coast, is go out of my way to go to the LA Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be killer. New stadium, West Coast. Does it really matter who's playing in the game?
I'm into all three of those venues.
Yeah.
And since you said I was being picky, you know, when the Browns 2018, 19, 20, it's let's go. Giddy up. Three good choices there.
Yeah.
Atlanta,
right.
Hotlanta, L.A., Miami. Let's go. Let's get into that Super Bowl. All right, we'll take a break now. When we come back, it'll be time for our final thoughts. Your last opportunity to call us, to tweet us, at Nathan Zagura, at Browns_Daily, or use the phones, 216-578-0850. A beautiful day in Berea. OTA number 5 in the books, more than halfway done with the OTAs. They'll wrap those up next Thursday with OTA number 9, and then the following week is the mandatory minicamp, the final time for this team to practice that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, before they take a break prior to training camp beginning in late July. Zagura Wilhelm here on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD, wrapping it up today. Again, if you're just joining us, earlier we had Ray Horton in studio, live from the podium with Pro Bowl left tackle Joe Thomas, as well as inside linebacker DeMario Davis. Some stuff you certainly want to hear, especially Ray Horton live in studio with us. You can get that on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app on today's show in the podcast, or you can live stream it right there on the app. The Patriots, it is official. The Patriots have filed an amicus brief supporting NFLPA's appeal of Tom Brady's suspension in the Second Circuit. Per court filing, it is now the Pats and the NFLPA against the National Football League. The last time team took legal action against the NFL was Al Davis and the Raiders. This is a legal brief against the NFL and its legal position. And scientists on Tuesday, a group of professors of physics and engineering have also submitted a brief in support of Brady's position. The 8-page document filed by 21 professors at MIT, Cal, Michigan, USC, Stanford, Delaware, Purdue, Penn, Boston College, and Minnesota focuses on the application of the ideal gas law to the footballs used by the Patriots during the AFC Championship game. It strongly disputes the conclusions made by the NFL in the investigation that resulted in finding that tampering with footballs had occurred. So you've got the NFLPA, you've got the Patriots, and now a group of scientists out of nowhere filing something on behalf of Tom Brady.
They must be football fans.
So let me ask you, if this all happens and they're all right and they get it all done, right? And the courts are like, what Roger Goodell in the NFL did is ridiculous. Do the Patriots get a first rounder, an extra first rounder in the next draft?
What's done is done. And I doubt he's going to get Robert Kraft will get his $1 million back.
He should.
I know he should.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, our guy Chris Hyder says, three things I like right now. They throw the ball to the sideline. They put players in position to win, and everyone seems bought in to win. Go Browns. Woof, woof. Interesting comment from Ray Horton, right, about the winning, that everything is being stressed on winning. And here we are. We sit here, and I've been, you know, optimistic. You've been optimistic. We know the kid, wherever he is.
Drinking that Kool-Aid. You got a pitcher always ready.
Playoffs every year. But players have said it. Not as directly as Ray Horton said it, but that was never the message around here. And I know Ray Horton had the 1 year here with Chud, but it was never about winning. And now it seems that everything these guys talk about is winning, 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 winning. Now, you can't talk yourself into winning.
No.
But it does seem to be a different culture and different goals ultimately at the end of the day.
No doubt. And I think what it boils down to is the compound effect. Okay. If I apply winning as a state of mind to everything that I do, I'm going to win the day today as a husband, as a father, as a radio co-host.
You won in that.
Whatever. Regard. You know, I'm just saying that's my personal way of winning. And one day becomes Tuesday, or the next day becomes the third day, becomes the fourth day. If I apply a winning nature to what I put in my body and what I don't put in my body, if I put into my sleeping habits a winning mentality, which I'm sure they've laid out for a winning mentality in my sleeping habits, a winning mentality into my ability to prioritize my life, which is video games, television, playbook, and other entities, right? If I put a winning mentality into the gym downstairs, when I go in there, how do I win my day? I go in and do these things specified by Adam Beard and his team. Once my foot hits the practice field, what are the winning ways that Hugh Jackson wants me to? How do I go through individual? How do I go through walkthrough? What are the expectations of me in this walkthrough to consider it a winning way? That's before 11 players have gone against 11 players. It's winning, 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 winning. And it's like, start checking those boxes. I feel like, you know, and really what this is, it's essentially parenting 101. You know, if you have a series of boxes or check marks, you're rewarding your children with that check mark when they show you certain attributes or accomplish certain things. Before you know it, it becomes second nature. They just make their bed. They just brush their teeth without you asking. You know, they just go out there and practice the way that champions practice.
Yes.
You know, they execute the way champions practice. They put the right things in their bodies the way champions do. It becomes second nature to them. And the fact that they're creating these habits, I mean, this is bigger than just football. I mean, this is the way entrepreneurs live. This is the way millionaires and billionaires think and grow rich. Read that book. That's this attribute, you know? And so to put it in these guys' heads, and you heard Ray Horton talk about the motivator that Hugh Jackson is. He's a motivator. He's the head coach. He's the play caller. And that's the one thing to deviate kind of off this topic is the one thing that I might be most excited for in 2016 of the Cleveland Browns is not just the defense, is Hugh Jackson being my play caller. And I know that a lot of people question, you know, that first press conference about who's going to call the plays, how can he be a head coach and be a play caller. I'm most excited to see Hugh Jackson call our offensive games.
Oh, me as well. The diversity, the dynamic nature of his play calling. Joe Thomas earlier calling it an offensive lineman's dream with the way they make the defense cover every blade of grass.
And I just think the intent behind one play being called by Hugh Jackson is going to be significant. Because if it makes it into our game enough for those words to come across his lips to make it go over the microphone to that quarterback, there's a reason behind it. We're not just doing it to do it, you know? And I think that's a different mentality as we've seen around here in the last 4 or 5 years.
And it's going to be fun when we see those be setups for something else. That, you know,
first,
he's got this.
That's
you
what
said
I meant.
The one,
there's
one,
an intent.
Two, one,
I'm going to show you this because down the road you might get two or three. Or I might go one right to three or one to four. That's something we've never even seen before.
Blowing our minds.
Correct.
All right, let's go to Mike in Youngstown. Mike, welcome to the show.
Gentlemen, great show as usual.
Thank you.
Um, I couple things. You know, when you get to hear Hugh Jackson and the other coaches talk, it's just you could almost see the swagger. You could hear the swagger in their voices, and it's something that we haven't had for a long time. And three players I'm excited about, and you guys can tell me how big or if Mingo got as big as people say he was. I'm really excited for the fact that they like Pryor because Pryor can bring something to this team. And I love the fact that they say he's a leader. And Justin Gilbert, I know all the things he's been through. You know, I argue with people at work under the right tutelage. It's a pretty big word for me. Under the right tutelage,
well used.
I think Gilbert could be a player, and I just want to see what you guys think about the three of them. And thanks for doing the job you do every day.
You got it. Thank you very much for the call. And when it comes to Mingo, I'm kind of like, who cares? Like, thanks for showing up to play professional football in the shape that you should have been all along, you know? So hopefully he can finally, you know, step up to the point where we used the 6th overall pick on him in a bad draft. I get it. But step up and play. Like, thanks for putting on your big boy pads, finally.
Yeah, let's go. Giddy up. Also, as far as, you know, it relates to Justin Gilbert, everything we're hearing is positive. Anything we're seeing is positive. And hopefully that counts when real football is being played as well for him. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Jason Gibbs, who was here with us. Dreamer on the board. Thanks to Ray Horton for coming in here and spending some time with us. Yes. On a very good interview. Again, if you missed it, it will be on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. For Matt Wilhelm and Nathan Zagura, thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.